This is ExpertHR.com, your go-to HR compliance resource for federal, state, and municipal law. I'm David Weisenfeld for ExpertHR.com, published by Reed Business Information and proudly partnered with LexisNexis. On this podcast, on-the-scene coverage from Washington of the Supreme Court's affirmative action blockbuster, Fisher versus University of Texas. The court just heard arguments in this case, which is shaping up as the biggest of the new term. And while the dispute arises from the educational realm, it also has clear implications for employers. The woman who brought the case is 22-year-old Abigail Fisher, who claims that Texas rejected her application for admission in favor of less qualified minority applicants. Fisher says this decision will hamper her in the job market because she had to attend a less prestigious university. But Texas counters that its refusal to grant Fisher admission had nothing to do with race. The Supreme Court has rejected the use of affirmative action plans that use strict racial quotas, but it has permitted the consideration of race in the awarding of government contracts to remedy past discrimination. And the court also has allowed state educational institutions to use race as one factor in the admissions criteria to meet the compelling interest in diversity. The University of Texas's president is Bill Powers.
There is not a business or a school in the country that if they needed 10 new employees and said, let's take resumes, got 500 resumes, and then just said, go take the top 10 grade point averages, that's who we'll select. No interest in, do you have experience in the field? Do you have leadership? No one would say that's the only way that we can choose our students.
In the present case, a wide array of groups have come together to support the university and its use of race, including large employers, labor unions, and the military. They fear that a ruling for Fisher could spell trouble for their own diversity and recruitment efforts. But if the Supreme Court oral arguments are any indication, all of that support is unlikely to be enough. A key part of the debate centered on Texas's claim that its compelling interest in using race as an admissions factor is to attain a critical mass of minority students at the university. The court's conservative members greeted this argument with skepticism. In fact, Chief Justice John Roberts led the charge, peppering Texas's attorney Gregory Garr with 10 straight questions at one point, showing he is unlikely to offer up a surprise vote for affirmative action as he did in last June's health care ruling. From the start, the Chief Justice's questions went right to the heart of the workability of affirmative action itself, as evidenced by this rather pointed exchange with Garr.
Should someone who is one quarter Hispanic check the Hispanic box or some different box?
Your Honor, there is a multiracial box. Students check boxes based on their own determination. This is true under the common
application. Well, I suppose the person who's one quarter percent Hispanic, his own determination would be I'm one quarter percent Hispanic.
Then they would check that box, Your Honor, as is true.
They would check that box. What about 1/8?
Your Honor, that was... They would make that self-determination, Your Honor. If anyone in any part of the application violated some honor code, then that could come out.
Would it violate the honor code for someone who's 1/8 Hispanic and says, I identify as Hispanic, to check the Hispanic box?
I don't think it would, Your Honor. I don't think that issue would be any different than the plan upheld in Grutter or the Harvard plan.
You don't check in any way the
we
racial
do not,
identification.
Your Honor. And no college in America, the Ivy League's a little...
How do you know you have 15% African-American, Hispanic, or 15% minority?
Citing the Supreme Court's ruling which upheld the university's affirmative action plan in Grutter versus Bollinger, the Chief Justice clearly found Texas's justification for its program wanting.
When will we know that you've reached a critical mass?
Well,
Grutter said there has to be a logical endpoint to your use of race. What is the logical endpoint?
The author of that 2003 Grutter opinion, Sandra Day O'Connor, had suggested in her opinion that some form of affirmative action might be needed for another 25 years. So it came as somewhat of a surprise that the court decided to hear Fisher's challenge to the Texas race-conscious plan, which most consider to go no further than Michigan's did. O'Connor's opinion was not lost in the courtroom on Justice Stephen Breyer, who spoke for his liberal colleagues by asking Fisher's attorney if he wanted the court to explicitly overrule that landmark affirmative action decision.
Grutter said it would be good law for at least 25 years. And I know that time flies, but I think only 9 of those years have passed. Why overrule a case into which so much thought and effort went and so many people across the country have depended on?
In response, Fisher's attorney, Bert Rhine, said he was not asking for the case to be overruled. But Justice Sonia Sotomayor was incredulous in commenting, "You don't want to overrule Grutter, you just want to gut it." Rhine denied wanting to gut the Grutter decision, but did say it is unacceptable to view it as an unlimited mandate to use race to your own satisfaction and to be deferred to in your use of race, calling that an invasion of the white students' rights to equal protection under the law. But speaking afterwards outside the Supreme Court, Texas's attorney Gregory Garr picked up on Justice Sotomayor's point.
Certainly the concern of the University of Texas is that even if the court purported not to overrule its precedents, in practice it would.
Garr said the university was merely using race as a modest factor that is one among many to achieve its goal of a diverse student body. Under the Texas plan, state residents who are in the top 10% of their high school class are admitted automatically to the university without regard to race. But to fill the remaining slots, Texas takes a host of considerations into account, including a candidate's socioeconomic and racial status. Following the arguments, it appeared that Texas's absolute best-case solution is a 4-4 tie at the Supreme Court that would leave the Fifth Circuit's ruling in its favor intact. That's because Justice Elena Kagan, a likely supporter of the Texas side, recused herself from the case because of her past work in the Obama administration as Solicitor General. A far more likely result, however, is a reversal of some sort, with Justice Anthony Kennedy providing the key vote. Kennedy appears to be the swing voter in this case, but whether the ultimate opinion on race-conscious plans sweeps broadly or more modestly remains to be seen. One thing is sure, employers with affirmative action programs will be watching closely to see whether the ruling will have an impact on their own efforts. A decision in Fisher versus Texas is expected before the end of the Supreme Court's term in June 2013. For Expert HR, I'm David Weisenfeld.
The opinions expressed in this program do not represent legal advice, nor should they necessarily be taken as the views of Expert HR or its employees. ExpertHR.com is published by Reed Business Information and is proudly partnered with LexisNexis. For more information about Expert HR and our subscription offering, call us toll-free at 1-855-973-7847. Again, that's 1-855-973-7847. Copyright 2012, all rights reserved.